The word here in the first part, where there is no vision, the modern use of the word vision is the idea of foresight or at least insight and discretion. You could describe vision as seeing the right way or the best way when even others can't. This is a biblical application of the word. It's not all that the word means, but it is important. So if we took this verse in light of that definition, this would be a warning that you, if you do not have foresight or insight, then the bad will occur, or in this case, people will perish. Now, in the Old Testament economy or mindset, if you would, the word vision meant a revelation. It had to do with an oracle of God, God's word coming to his people, the nation of Israel. It was the way that they heard from God in that time frame. It represented God's will for them in their life. Now, the verse itself, if you'll notice, ties it into that, that second part. It even references the idea of his word in the word that they had revealed to him, them, which was said and standard was the law. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So the warning, if we take that definition, would be that if you do not have the direction from God's word, bad will occur, or if you would, people will perish. Now, both of these are correct understandings of the word, and so I'd like to sort of put those together for us today and deal with this idea of this verse from this standpoint. We must use God's word to see the right way to live out our lives. This is the best way and will keep us from being hurt by the many pitfalls of life. I'd like to put that together again and just have you listen to that statement, because this is where we're going to preach from today. We must use God's word to see the right way to live out our lives. This is the best way and will keep us from being hurt by the many pitfalls of life. And so let's analyze this verse, the major point, really two major points, a very simple message. We need vision. We need vision. Now, when I say that, I'm putting it in the context of this verse. It's election season in our state. They changed the governor's election to be an off year from the presidential election. So this is the government, the governor's race. And as is the case, the mud has already started slinging and everybody's tired of the ads and so forth and so on. This is one of the jargons that they like to use, political jargon. You know, who's got the vision? Whose vision is best for Kentucky? To the point in time where you're thinking, I think you guys are all blind. Why would I? But you understand. You remember the use of the term. But more than a vision of political success or why they should be governor, God says that we need vision, because if we don't have vision, then people will perish. Bad things will occur. We need to have vision for many things in our life. And I'd like to just look at a couple right here mentioned in this chapter. Under this idea of we need a vision, we need a vision for our country. Look at verse number 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Now, this isn't the only verse in this short chapter, which is a classic Proverbs chapter where the themes go back and forth between different ideas, and some of them are standalone, some of them work within a context, but most of the Proverbs are just standalone ideas, and this chapter number 29 is very similar, and yet in this chapter, verse number 2, verse number 4, verse number 12, verse number 14 all speak of the idea of authority, or if you would, government. You know what we need to do? We need to have a vision for our country. Now, I'm going to get to the idea about the spiritual, but let me just talk about even, we ought to have a vision for our country to have leaders and good leaders in right positions. When we find candidates, and I don't care what level of government is, matter of fact, oftentimes on the local level, the what we consider the smallest level, there's where we can have the biggest impact. You know what we need? We need folks that are in positions of authority in our counties, in our cities, in our states that have a respect toward God. As a matter of fact, if nothing, even better, to be a Christian. And to let the Bible govern their lives, if we can find that. Now, I know it can be very frustrating, can't it? And sometimes we feel like we're always choosing between the lesser of two evils. But the fact is that when we find folks that we can support, why? I still believe we're in the greatest country in this world. And I'd love to see it come back to God. And I'd love for the leadership to respect God like it was. We were out on tour with the fellows over Memorial Day weekend, and I just had to preach a patriotic message. But what a privilege we have in our country to look back at our history books. They sang, God's word will stand. They're trying to hide Christian heritage, but we have it. And we can go back to it and point to it and say, this is where we came from. And by the way, not only where we came from, this is why we are as great as we are today. And so this crowd that's trying to change it needs to be just presented with the other idea. Look, that wasn't how we got here. They're enjoying America's greatness without understanding why it became great. So we need to have a vision for our country. By the way, and again, I'm in the ministry. I'm not leaving to go run for governor of the state. Though maybe I should consider. No, but now the fact is that I have no desire for that. But on the other hand, some of you, maybe God would call you to even be a minister. You know, the Bible uses the term minister for government leaders. It's interesting, isn't it? Now, I'm not here to campaign for anybody or call you to campaign. But you know what? We do need good people in leadership. Maybe just start with what you could do on top of what. Yeah, I know everyone's busy, but maybe someone should run for a local office here. I tell you what, we have been blessed in Kentucky because our preacher had a vision for he has a vision for our country, but for our state, and he started working with good people and encouraging them to run and supporting them when they run. And you know, we're reaping some of the benefit of that now. State level government, we've got folks that support. Now we still got our frustrations, and we still got guys that they're not where they ought to be. But the fact is that I'm sure glad for state level, local level governments that will take a stand for right. Amen. Now you're in a good county here. I'm a native Hoosier, by the way, born in Indianapolis, grew up around there in different places, and over on the other side of the state, Muncie area. But nonetheless, I keep track of what's going on, and we need good states. Now we need people in leadership then to do that. You say, Brother Young, this is an odd Sunday morning message. Well, here's what happens. Sometimes if we're not careful as Christians, we'll just get frustrated with what's going out in the world, and we'll just get in our little shell and we won't participate. You dead sure ought to vote, people, if nothing else. I mean, we have the privilege to do that. There are many countries they'd love to have that opportunity. Our vote can still mean something. So we ought to have a vision for our country. I point that out because it's here found in our chapel or our chapter here. Here's another thought that we find here. Kids, you'll really like this one. We need to have a vision for our families. Look at there. We've got two verses in here. Proverbs number 29, verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. How about that? Look at verse 17, couple down. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Now, I said, kids, you wouldn't really be real excited about that, because it is dealing with correction. But the fact is, we need to have vision for our families, folks. Hey, Planned Parenthood has a vision for family. It's not biblical, but they have it. They'd rather reduce our world population by aborting babies. They talk about planning for families. They ought to just be honest about it. Just killing off families, killing off babies. Now they have their own vision, but it's not a biblical one. But the Bible is the one. By the way, someone asked us, we were out on tour, and so it was a kind and gracious comment. They said, boy, your kids are out, they're in the ministry. You ought to write a book on child rearing. And we sort of laughed and looked at each other like, no, not really. If you really knew, you wouldn't have asked. But the fact is, there's our book on child rearing. And by the way, folks, we need to get back to the book on child rearing and stop listening to the culture, unless you want kids to turn out like the kids of the world are turning out. Now, by the way, I'm not preaching, kids, don't get too nervous here, but I'm not preaching just on discipline. But the fact is that the world doesn't discipline. And let's say, matter of fact, it's embarrassing not just to see how kids act, but adults who were trained that way act in public now. I mean, they throw a bunch of a tantrum as anybody else. Now, I don't go shopping very much at all. I told the kids at college, if you ever see me in the mall, call for help because I've lost my mind. All right. But the fact is, when you do happen to go out in the world and go out shopping, you can see adults, they don't get their way. I mean, it's like a temper tantrum. Oh, and everybody's embarrassed, and that's an adult. You know where it started? That same guy did the same thing when he was a kid. There have been many a time that mom or dad, and mom was out with the kids mostly, they had to leave the store. They couldn't finish the purchase. They needed to deal with the problem. You say, well, that wasn't very convenient. Yeah, child rearing isn't very convenient, but it's right to do according to the Bible. And we're going to rear our kids. By the way, look at the end result. They shall have delight in thy soul. Not only will the parent have delight, but you know what? The kids will have delight too. They need to know you love them enough to be able to correct them, mom and dad. I mean, society, look, and all these things. Country, well, we got so many people. They have their agenda for our country, don't they? Yeah, they have the agenda for the country. I don't want their agenda. I don't need the woke crowd telling me how America ought to be. I don't need the perverse alphabet crowd telling me what we ought to have for our kids. Don't need that at all. But if we don't take a stand, and if we don't stand up for what the Bible says, then they're going to take over. And we're just going to throw up our hands and say, oh, well, we couldn't really do anything about it. Well, do something about it. Do what you can about it. By the way, we need to get on our knees because he's the one that can change it all. The fact is, God has us. Where there is no vision, you want your family to be destroyed? Don't have a vision for it. By the way, it doesn't always work out like our vision is, but when I've got it around the Word of God and God tweaks a little bit, it'll be just fine. We didn't necessarily. We wanted our kids to be surrendered to what God's will was. We didn't necessarily know that that meant two girls across the world on the mission field. But you know what? There's a few tears shed, obviously. There's some disappointment that we can't just go across town when they have a problem and they pick it. Now, it's not so tough as what it used to be, is it? I mean, we can pick up a phone. We can have a video conference. We can see the kids. But we just can't run across the street and say hi to them. Right. I understand that. But wait a second. We reared them with a sense of being yielded to whatever God wants you to do. So folks, parents, grandparents, we need to be yielded to their surrender. I preached a little bit of a message on that, even on tour, because sometimes we're finding, you know, it's okay if their surrender is contained within my sphere. No, their surrender may take them out of your sphere, but if you are surrendered and you've trained them to be surrendered, let God do what he wants with them. You want them across the world in God's will than across the street out of it. The fact is that we've got to have vision for our family. We have to have vision for our country. And here's one of the reasons I thought about this for this particular church. You have just celebrated 50 years as a church. Your testimony, no doubt in this community, but really to the rest of us outside of this, your testimony is a Blessed Hope Baptist Church, is a church of vision. Because for 50 years, you've had men of vision leading this church. Again, I really do. I wish, and I know you do too, I wish your pastor is behind this pulpit. There's a man of vision. You know, it was your pastor who's younger than our Dr. Jorgensen. We've mentioned him already, but it was your pastor that encouraged Dr. Jorgensen to start writing books. It really was. Why? Because your pastor had gotten that vision earlier and started producing those things, and they were making an impact. And he said, Doc, you've got all this wealth. He was talking to Dr. Jorgensen. He said, you ought to write books. And he's written a couple since then. You know why? Because someone who had vision shared that vision, and that encouraged someone else to have vision. Now, that's your church. This is a result of vision. You know what he said today was exactly right. It'll be a lot of fun, there's no doubt. And their little goofy skit is, you know, my tour guy said, can we come back tomorrow night? Sorry. We got to find out what happened. But you know what this is about? It's not just about having fun. It's seeing kids saved and having vision to see them grow in the Lord. That's vision. Your bus ministry, what an exciting time. I saw the buses come in, and then it wasn't very long after that that we heard all the chattering and all the kids coming up from the downstairs, coming up to fill in here. You know what that is? That's vision. Vision that those young people need the gospel. They need to get saved. Vision that they need to grow in the Lord. And they do, by the way. Take advantage of that time of investment. I know there's a lot of folks spread across this building right now, but across this property, investing in those kids, trying to see them not just get saved, but grow in the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. That's vision. This is why this testimony of this church is known in this community, this county, and really across the state and elsewhere. Why? Because it's men of vision. They've seen it. They've grabbed hold that there's something more important than what the culture offers or what the world says. And they said, we're going to have vision to reach folks for Christ. We're going to have vision. We're going to start a school so we can train those kids up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen. That's vision. What a testimony this church has. Now let me challenge you. Continue the vision. Don't lose sight of it. A preacher of yesteryear would share this illustration often, but he preached at a church for many years, a church very much like this church, on fire, excited about reaching souls for Christ, soul-winning church, bus ministry church, a church that, again, would have looked just like this church. He moved away from the area, hadn't preached at the church for a while. And actually, as time went on, he heard that the church had shut its doors, had closed. And knowing what it once was and remembering his great times that God had met with him in that church, he decided, I'd like to go at least see the building. And when he did, he noticed that, and it was shut down. It hadn't been used in years. He noticed that a door was open in it, and sort of just left open by negligence. And so he decided to go inside. What he would tell him, the story was, on the front of the church, they had this verse that we're reading, where there is no vision, the people perish. And that church put it up there on the wall because it wanted to keep the vision out in front of people. Yes, sir. It had lost the vision, though. Right. And somewhere over time, when he walked into the building, he said, I looked up there, knowing what was up there, and here was all that was left of the letters. No vision, people perish. Folks, we can't lose our vision. We've got to be able to continue, and though you have a tremendous testimony, if God hasn't come back, we're not done yet. Christian, if God hasn't come back, you're not done yet. I said it in Sunday school. Sometimes we don't run as fast, and sometimes we can't even run anymore. We jog or walk, but we got to keep on going, folks. I mean, we've got a lot of wonderful pictures. I was just commenting on some of these historical pictures there, and I saw some of you, and you were young once, but now you're not. Does that mean that we don't serve God anymore? No, we've got to keep on going. We've got to have enough vision to show that to our children and our grandchildren and great-grandchildren of God tarries, the fact that we can serve God all of our life to whatever degree we can. We must have vision. But remember this, we must use God's word to have that vision. We must use God's word to see the right way and to live out our lives. The Bible talks about our vision, but it is never absent or outside of the word of God. If it becomes that, we'll have problems. Hey, Hitler had a vision for Germany, did he not? He was considered a visionary. Stalin was considered a visionary. He had a vision for Russia. But the result of those two men's vision were millions upon millions that died. By the way, if we have a vision, but it's not centered in the Word of God, our vision will fail too. We need to have a vision. So point number two is we need to keep God's word. We have to keep God's word. Second part of the verse. For the first part, we could all quote, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. There's the key. Not just a vision, but to have the vision centered in the word of God. We looked at the verses. He mentioned government. But God had a commentary on it. God, by the way, established government. He ought to have a commentary on it. We need to find out vision for government through God's word. By the way, God established the family too, didn't he? He did. Family wasn't invented by or defined by the Supreme Court, praise the Lord, because they can't even figure out what marriage is nowadays. But the fact is, God defined it. We know what his vision is. We need to get to his word to find that vision and to live it. That applies to all of us. So we have to keep God's word. Here's some things we observe from this chapter. God sees things in rights and wrongs. We won't read all the verses, but God contrasts the righteous with the wicked in verses 2, 6, 7, and 16. God contrasts the fool with the wise in verses 8, 9, and 11. And he contrasts the humble with the proud in verse number 23. You see, God sees it pretty clear, doesn't he? Our confusion or our quote unquote gray areas are only because we get away from the vision that God has given to us. I'm not going to allow the world's always constantly changing the definition, changing the parameter, aren't they? The fact is, God's word never changes. So if we're truly going to have the right kind of vision that will be make an impact in our lives, our families' lives, and in our nation, it has to be filtered through the word of God. We have to keep the second part of the verse. If we'll keep people from perishing, it's because we've latched on to what God's vision is given to us in his word. Just as God sees things in right and wrong, the world sees it completely the opposite. Look at verse number 27. An unjust man is an abomination to the just. Notice this, and he that is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. It's completely opposite. Elsewhere, the Bible says that men will one day call good evil and evil good, and boy, are we in that day. The fact is that when God sees things right and wrong, you can just guarantee it, mark it down, the world will eventually disagree with him and preach the opposite. I mean, I'm old enough that, you know, it would have just been unbelievable to hear a news report that they were trying to discuss whether there were more than two genders. Matter of fact, folks were still in the closet, so to speak, in those days. Wish they had stayed there. But it was, and yet we've come to the point in time where publicly thinking people, supposedly educated people, supposedly are discussing the possibilities of more than one, two genders. Now, how do we get there? We get away from God's truth. We start allowing the world and feelings and everything else. Folks, God gave us feelings. Feelings are good things. I mean, I got emotional there for a minute and shed some tears. But the fact is, feelings are okay, but they're not to govern us. They're not to guide us. Good night. We have such a wimpy society nowadays. They just, you hurt my feelings. Well, you'll live through it. It's Bible. You're going to make it. You'll be okay. I'll even pat you on the back or kick you in the backside, one of the two. But I deal with men's dorms. That's what I tell parents. Well, sometimes I'll pat them on the back. Sometimes I kick them in the back. But either way, it's always with the hope of getting them in the right direction. Now, wait a second. God's word does the same to us sometimes, doesn't it? Yeah. But it's the right way. It is the way, notice our text verse again, it is the way that brings happiness. So much of the world is focused on what makes me feel good right now, what makes me happy right now. And by the way, the world gets distracted enough where it can be happy for the moment, and yet the next day they're trying to find it again. And what gave them happiness yesterday may not work today. Look, God says, you want to be happy? Why don't you just obey the law? Follow my word. Wow, that's it? Yeah. Well, I don't always like it. I tell you what doesn't like it. It's my flesh. My flesh always sides with the world. Always does. It's our worst enemy. So you and I are going to have to get away from the vision of the flesh and start getting into the word of God. Because when I anchor myself to the word of God, I will have a vision for the eternal, not the temporal. I'll have a vision for people's souls, not just be selfish. Oh, the world's so self-centered. Young people don't emulate the world. They want to get all wrapped up in what they can have fun for today. And it's all about me, 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 me. It ought to be about him, 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 him. Get in his word and you'll get that attitude adjusted. And by the way, you'll be happy. I'll close here shortly. Sometimes in correcting our kids, we didn't have the goods on them, so to speak. Most of the time, mom and dad already has the goods on you, kids. I'm just letting you know. But sometimes we wouldn't, and we'd send them down. And we wouldn't correct them for, what we didn't know for sure they had done. But we'll pray something about, God work on their hearts. And I hope that they're right. And, all those little convicting prayers. And send them off to bed. I'll tell you what, we've had a couple come up through the night, a little later on, weeping and wailing and crying. I did do it. I was wrong. Now, it's never fun to correct, but I can tell you what is joyful. After it's all settled. And you know what? They could go back down and go to sleep. It wasn't fun getting the spanking. It wasn't fun getting the correction. But I can tell you what was fun. Knowing that I got things right with mom and dad. And instead of crying all night and kept awake by your conscience, they were able to go to sleep. Now, wait a second. That's a happy feeling right there.
Yes, sir.
You know what we need to do, folks? We just need to be able to get a vision. We need to keep that vision, but that vision must be filtered and centered in on the Word of God. You and I need to know and love the Word of God. Now, here's a place where the Word of God is preached to you. It's taught to you. It's the center of this church. So you really don't have an excuse. You really don't. Your life, though, and here's the thing. We can get in a place like this, but we'll let everybody else sort of live our Christianity for us. Young people, listen to me now. But we have to make it real for me. It's not enough that mom and dad put you in the right place and live the right way. You have to make that decision. You're going to have to start getting anchored to the Word of God. You're going to have to start getting a vision. Now, by the way, vision doesn't mean getting some kind of your own wild, crazy dream. No, it's centered in the Word of God. And you're going to find out that mom and dad are a whole lot smarter than what you thought. That preacher and that Sunday school teacher, they really did know what they were talking about. You know why? Because they didn't get up and share their philosophies. They shared the Word of God with you. Oh, folks, we need a vision. This is a church of vision. You have to work to keep it, though. And at work is right here. We have to have a vision. We have to keep the Word of God. By the way, we'll please God. Let me read that one more time to you. We must use God's Word to see the right way to live out our lives. This is the best way. It always is, young people. And will keep us from being hurt by the many pitfalls of life. The church has a vision. How about you? Do you have a vision? I'm talking to the individual now. I'm going to turn it over here in just a minute. We're going to have a word of prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Gordon to come up here and lead the invitation. But before we get there, do you have the right vision? Is it filtered in the Word of God? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless now this time of invitation. There might be some decisions that need to be made. Maybe a young person realizing for the first time that they themselves need to have vision in their life centered on your Word. Maybe it is a parent, a grandparent, maybe someone who's been saved for a while, Lord. They've lost a little vision and they've started listening to the philosophy of the world or just got frustrated. And Lord, help us to have vision. Help us to keep it centered on your Word and help us to live it to your honor and glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.